Welcome to the Pride of Detroit post-game show, coming to you for Week 13 as the Lions dominate the Jacksonville Jaguars here, 42-14. Probably the most impressive full game, complete game the Lions have played all year against an opponent. Obviously, their largest margin of victory, I believe. Their largest margin of victory on any win this year, with 26 points over the Jaguars, coming off a Jaguars team who had just beaten the Baltimore Ravens, and the Jaguars who have only really the most the Jaguars have lost by against an opponent this year up until this point was 10 points to the Chiefs. Every other loss was within one score. So the Lions really put it to a team that had played a lot of other teams close. I think this is a really bad matchup for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we'll get into that because there's the Lions put together the most complete game this year, and that's very impressive to see. It's something we hope they can take into next year. Now, obviously, taking something from one year into the next is always really tough. We saw the trouble with that going from 2021 to 2022. But let's talk about what went right for them, because a lot went right for them on offense. The 10 days rest coming off the Buffalo Bills, I feel, really helped the Detroit Lions really get back in gear. Jared Goff looked fresh, especially in front of an offensive line who looked very revitalized. Jared Goff had all day to throw in the pocket, which helps Jared Goff. Jared Goff doesn't do well under pressure. So the improved play of the offensive line and the complete lack of a Jaguars pass rush meant that Goff was able to sit back there and target guys like DJ Shark, who finally had a big game for him, just shy of 100 yards on 5 completions. And hey, look, another 100-yard plus day for Amon-Ra St. Brown on 11 receptions. 11 receptions targeted 12 times. St. Brown continues to just be a catching machine out there over the middle. He took one hell of a shot over the middle, but he got right back up. So once again, this offense clicking when it has the protection it needs to click. Even DeAndre Swift, who's been really struggling to get back into this right now, had a touchdown on the day. He was stumbling around to get that one. Looked like he was just short the play before. Comes back and sends to the house. But he picks up 62 yards today on the ground as he averages 4.4 yards per carry and gets back and looking like a little bit of the earlier season DeAndre Swift we were all hoping for. But that all comes back to the offensive line. The offensive line is playing better again. It was rough for a little bit, and it's good to see when they're playing well what happens with the Detroit Lions, because as always, that's the strength of this team. It's supposed to be in the trenches. And that's what made the offense really sing here. The Lions never punted today, and the Lions, this was their sixth game with 30 points or more. They are one of the highest scoring offenses in the league right now with a losing record. It's all very impressive on a season that really got scuffed in the middle of it. And we all know why it got scuffed. It was more about the defense than it was about the offense at the end of the day. But it also paints everything you need to know about this rebuild right there. That the Detroit Lions, their offense, has everything it really needs and the system and everything it needs to really succeed going into next year. It just needs a few. I don't know how many more pieces it needs. I don't know if it needs a quarterback for the long-term future. I believe so, it does. But you can argue about how much draft capital they spend on that versus what they need to spend on the defense, because that will continue to be the Achilles heel. It wasn't today, because the Jaguars struggled to keep the ball going, and even on their touchdown run, though, give it to the defense, because they made sure that that was a very long meandering drive for the Jacksonville Jaguars that burned off so much clock that at that point in the game, you know, they get the touchdown, the 2-point conversion coming out of the third quarter after the Lions' possession, but it was out of hands for them at that point. It was completely out of hands. It was 30-6. They get a touchdown to make it a 2-score game, but you're like, you know that they're not going to be able to stop the Lions from marching down the field again. And that's exactly what happened. Lions put on 10 more points after that and keep it well out of the hands of the Jaguars. That's all she wrote. Trevor Lawrence leaving this game for a while probably hurt them, I'm sure. But ultimately, the Jaguars just had no answer for two different things. They had no other teams have taken advantage of the Lions being aggressive on defense, almost overly aggressive. The Jaguars had no real answer. Sometimes Trevor Lawrence would get the ball out very quickly, but when he did, it was on routes that just really hadn't developed too much, and that the pressure meant that he was not really getting too deep of targets on a lot of these. And he took two sacks in the day. The legend of James Houston continues to grow in a very impressive rookie appearance late in the NFL season here. He notches another sack on the day. And Aiden Hutchinson continues to shine up front, leading this team, being one of the young leaders up front in the trenches. Even Alex Anzalone's playing fairly well right now. The Lions are probably peaked at a good time. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be enough to carry them to the playoffs. We just watched the Giants and the Commanders go to a draw here, a tie, which is probably the worst option out of any of them. You wanted one of those teams to lose, and instead they tie, which really hurts the Lions. Lions got five games left here. But ultimately, regardless of what happens with the playoffs, that shouldn't really matter at the end of the day. I always thought the playoff talk was a bit of sky-high thinking. Might happen. We'll see what happens with the 49ers. I did watch Jimmy Garoppolo get carted off the field a little bit earlier today. If the 49ers can't succeed without their quarterback there, then it could be a problem for them. But the point is that this season was always about building confidence in this team, playing well for Dan Campbell. That's exactly what has happened. It feels good to watch a team beat someone like the Jaguars. You know the Lions are going to beat the Jaguars. You know they should beat the Jaguars. On paper, they should beat the Jaguars, and they go out and do just that. They beat the Jaguars. To do and say what you set out to accomplish is to speak in a language of pure meaning, and it means that the Lions have some growth on their side. Now, again, they've got to carry that into next year. They didn't quite do that to start this year versus their growth from last year. But this is the silver linings season for the Detroit Lions. You find what is looking and makes you feel good about the Lions. And it's hard not to look at what this team's been doing over the past few games, even the loss to the Bills, and say, look, the Lions are showing you exactly who they are. A team that likes to play in the trenches, that likes to score high, that likes to run an offense that is just making sure Amon-Ra St. Brown is getting a lot of targets. It can work. I think the only point that would have made Lions fans today was that Jameson Williams did play, but didn't really get a lot of snaps and got no target. And I don't think he really got much of a target. I think he was maybe targeted once on an underthrow from Jared Goff, but otherwise didn't really appear in the box score. Dan Campbell said that it was all about getting him out there, getting his feet together, getting him acclimated to the speed of the game, which is valid. I think Jameson Williams is as skilled as any wide receiver out there right now. However, you're coming in week 13, where teams are already playing at breakneck speed. And you're going up against some of the best corners that the league that you know you've seen in your life. You're going to need time to get ready and jump in. I think come next week when the Lions take on the Minnesota Vikings, you will see Jameson Williams more involved. Right now, I'm not going to worry about his use here because this is him getting his feet wet. We got him to dip his toes in the water. You jump in a pool, it's really cold to start. That's what JMO did here. We're going to wrap up this Pride of Detroit post-game podcast here. If you missed anything, You can watch the full show on Twitch. We do Q&A there, get some post-game sound. These are our condensed thoughts. We will have POD cast coming for you, the full hour-plus long edition with myself, Jeremy Reisman, and Ryan Matthews coming on Monday morning on the podcast feeds, Sunday evenings live on Twitch. I also want to thank everyone who has raised an obscene amount of money with us for the Alzheimer's Association. We raised, between the crisis text hotline and the Alzheimer's Association, we raised over $27,000 for two very good causes. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. This community continues to be one of the best in the world, and it is very, very cool. But we'll see you again a little bit later. So until then, I'm Chris Perfett. Find me on Twitter @ChrisPerfett. We'll see you Starside.